Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we simply cannot overestimate the importance of being able to hear, to receive, to understand the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be able to hear. We need to be able to listen. Have you ever been accused of in one ear and out the other? I heard that quite a bit as I was growing up as a young man. I still hear it a little bit today, as I'm frequently accused that I can't do two things at the same time, which is for the most part true. But hearing and listening is crucial for human communication. When I conduct premarital and marital counseling, this is one of the most important topics that we cover. We need to be able to communicate with our words in such a way as we say them clearly. We back them up with gestures and body language, with touch, with sincerity. But we especially communicate through the ability to hear and to listen and to assure the other person that we actually received what they had to say. We can and should work on communication skills, as these are integral for a good relationship. But some say that the ability to hear is more important than any other aspect of communication. Jesus concludes today's parable in Matthew chapter 13 with the words at Matthew 13 verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." We pray that by the grace of God, that we would truly hear, and even more, truly receive, listen, and to understand His Word, that He puts into our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit, so that faith would be worked in us. Why? Because according to God's Word, this is exactly where faith comes from, how it is nurtured. Romans 10:17, the middle of page 13, let's read together as the people of God. Romans 10:17, we read, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." Now the parable of the sower was the very first of our Lord's parables that He taught to the people. It does not compare persons per se. In other words, as we approach this parable and read it and learn it, we're not to stand back and go, oh, this person is so much better than this other person. The person with good soil had all these innate, great qualities that made them able to produce all this fruit. And these bad people over here had all these issues. No, don't do that. As a matter of fact, according to our sinful nature, we're able to relate to all of the problems that are outlined in this parable. And it's only by God's grace that we're able to hear and receive the word of Christ. So it's not about comparing. Indeed, the point of the comparison is the seed itself. Okay, what is the seed? In the parable, we need to know that that is referring to the Word of God itself. The sower that sows and casts the seed is God through His ministry casting His Word out to all. As that occurs, this Word, this seed, is what gives spiritual life. It is that seed that gives eternal life. So Jesus is not saying, again, that some people are better than others. By nature, we already know everyone is against God. Consider the verse from Hosea at the bottom of page 13. "You are destroyed, O Israel, because you are against me, you are against your helper." This is a statement towards all of Israel at the time. Everyone in the nation of Israel, among God's chosen people, the apple of His eye, are characterized in this text as being against God, as being against their helper. They weren't listening very well. At Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, the New International Version seemingly makes an error in describing the work of the evil one in relationship to his attack against us and the Word. Describing the scenario in which the evil one snatches the Word from a person, the NIV, the New International Version, which for the most part is a good translation, says, however, at the end of verse 19, "This is the seed sown along the path." giving the impression that there was something faulty about the seed. Well, there's nothing faulty about the seed. There's never anything faulty about the word of Christ. The ESV, the English Standard Version, which we do use in our services and most congregations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, says, "This is what was sown along the path." The point here is not a problem with the seed, but a problem in the person's relationship to that seed. The person's position in relationship to that seed. Now, there are three words in the right relationship with God's Word. Three words that we should all be privy to in understanding what the Lord says about a proper reception and relationship with the Word of Christ. We strive by God's grace in His church, by the Holy Spirit, for these three words to characterize our lives in Christ, in His Word. The first word is the word hear. All have this in common. The question is, what will accompany the hearing? This is, of course, where faith begins. We must be in the position to hear the word. This alone is a great reason for being faithful in the ministry to Christ's church, to make sure that people actually hear. Let me use one of the most relatable examples I can possibly use. If someone is in a romantic relationship, they want to express their feelings towards a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it is monumentally important that they're able to communicate and that the other person can hear about how the other person feels. We need to be able to hear. And if we don't hear, we don't even know what's going on in the relationship. Word number two, understanding. This word means to receive, to accept, and to take in. These are all the results of the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word. Here we do not simply hear, but the Word reaches our inner being and has an impact on our inner soul. Word number three, produce and bear. This is the work of the Holy Spirit seen in practical conduct in life. This is what hearing and understanding produces, good works, which are the fruit of faith. But our sins, brothers and sisters, our sin comes out precisely to keep us from hearing. If you were to ask yourself, basically, what is the most threatening aspect of my sin? It's not necessarily that I might commit some kind of immoral act, but fundamentally our sin is there to keep us from hearing the Word of Christ, to keep you away from the Word of God. One of my personal gripes in life is in respect to audio toys and tech that require earphones or earbuds. Now, I'm going to start with myself because I've made an effort. I had a birthday or something where I got a gift, one of those little, iPods? Little iPods. I thought it was really cool. You know, I'm going to start using this when I work out or whenever I'm alone. You know what? Running a household, if my wife needs something or one of my kids needs something or something happens in the house and I need to be there, Johnny, on the spot, I found out that those things were actually getting in the way. They were a hindrance to my being a good husband and a good father, being there for my kids and my family. So I don't use it very often at all. But have you ever tried to talk to a person wearing earbuds? Yes. It is incredibly frustrating. On May 21st, this tragic report came through the news. This happened in San Leandro here in California. An 18-year-old girl was fatally hit by a train while walking and using her earbuds. Her heartbroken mother was interviewed, and she said, "I've told my kids time and time and time again until I was blue in the face, and I will tell all of the youngsters out there listening to me now, when you're walking down the street and you got your headphones on, keep one headphone in and one headphone out so you can hear the world around you." She said, quote, "I believe that if she had listened to me and done what I said, she would have heard the train coming." The earphone and earbuds thing is analogous to many distractions which we choose in the world over and against God's Word, so that we are unable to hear the Word of Christ. Okay, so it might be earbuds, but it might be something else. We might be investing so much into a certain activity that we simply aren't able, We don't have time to hear the Word of God. Sensationalism tags the hot-button moral and ethical issues, war in the world, etc., to blame the deterioration we see all around us. But nothing is as bad as this very fundamental problem. People are too busy and too distracted to hear Jesus speaking to them. And when there is no hearing, there is no understanding. And when there is no understanding, there is no life. This is our most serious problem in sin. Just think of all the things you do to actively avoid God's word so that you say in your own way, I'm too busy. I have good reasons to wear all kinds of earbuds in my life. Well, I was blown away this past week in vacation Bible school. I'm going to share with you right now what I shared with the congregation, an email I sent out last night. I want to thank a couple of parishioners who asked me to share a little more detail in the reporting, including my wife Tracy and Lauren Kellogg. In 2012, we had 22 total children served at our vacation Bible school on the beach. Had a great time that first year. In 2013, that number went up last year to 29, from 22 to 29 children, overall children. This year, we had a total of 34 children that we served on the beach. We had 66 total participants in our vacation Bible school. It was the largest number we've had in the 3 years. I was very excited because this year we had the most guests we had ever had. We had families that were actively living out their faith, producing fruit from the gospel that they heard, the gospel that they love, and inviting others to come to vacation Bible school. We had two little boys there this year, and I was talking to them. They told me that they have never been to church. And they're at vacation Bible school. They were hearing the saving gospel of how much Jesus loves them, that their sins are forgiven, that they have eternal life, that they don't have to be afraid of dying, that Jesus is with them wherever they go. That's the fruit we're talking about. That's finding opportunities to hear and to understand and to bear fruit while we have the precious little time we still have on earth. I want to share something with you about the testimony of my spiritual mother in Christ. The scriptures train pastors, of course, as we're all trained, and they tell me to consider my younger brothers and sisters that I serve as my little brothers and my little sisters, to consider those my age, my brothers and sisters, and those who are older, my mothers and my fathers. And Gladys Geisler was most definitely my spiritual mother. And one of the ways, you know, I get all this theological training and I come with all of my letters and my theological acumen, but I tell you what, I learned from Gladys Geisler, because in spite of the struggles she was going through during the last few months of her life, incredible physical weakness, when I read God's word to her, she was absolutely eager, she was absolutely excited to hear the word and to dialogue about that word of Christ. It meant the world to her. It meant eternity to her. And I grew from her example to me. But the problem of our sin tries to keep us from hearing the word of Christ. So we need to know how the Lord intends to protect your relationship with the word. Through the various scenarios of people's relationship from the word, with the word of God, we learn the following. And this is what this parable is for. Jesus is protecting you. Jesus is training you. He is teaching you. He teaches what fights against receiving and keeping the word of God. We are to identify and confess these things in our life and repent of that which fights against our proper reception and keeping of the word. And we become more aware that it's only in Christ that we continue to properly receive and keep the word of God. He continues to save even as he keeps us receiving his word. Hear and heed the three specific warnings in this parable. Case number one, Matthew 13, verse 19, on page 16 of our bulletin. Let's read it together as the people of God. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, this isn't about you hearing some word for the first time and not getting it, saying, oh, he's talking about me. No. We all have that basic reaction. We need to learn the word and understand what it means. We're talking about someone here who, with evil intent, wants to push away that word and not grasp it and not understand it. And the example contextually are the Pharisees in this text who rejected Christ. This is the evil denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he is rejected, his word is rejected, I don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. Get away from me because I don't want the Lord. Case number two, Matthew 13, 20 to 21. We read together. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And you can read what I have written out to elaborate, but let me just give you this basic aspect right now. A lot of people, when they receive the word of Christ, they get this idea that unfortunately is perpetuated by many modern and popular churches today. That if you're a Christian, that if you're getting the word of Christ, congratulations, because life is about to get a lot easier for you. God's going to bless you with prosperity. Life is going to be easier. You can just look forward to all kinds of blessings where you don't have to struggle as much. This is an incredible problem we have in our world today. People receive that word, and then they're surprised when there's still hardship and there's still a cross to bear. There's still persecution and rejection. And when that happens, they fall away. Scenario number three, Matthew 13, 22. We read together. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. You can read the elaboration. But if you want to see a really good elaboration, look at Psalm 73. And sometimes the believer is looking, and they see others in the world who don't even believe, and life is going great. They don't see any problems. And the rich get richer and stronger, and they're having a great party all through their entire life, just having a great old time. And they don't need God, and they don't need Christ, and they don't need to hear the word, and they continue to prosper in this world. The psalmist is talking about the seeming injustice in that situation. But because of that love for the world, they don't listen to the word of God. We'll just read one scripture we have here. 1 Timothy 6:10. Right in the middle of page 17, let's read together. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Remember, the love of money, not money. King David was rich. Abraham the patriarch was rich. This is the love of money. I have a friend who just made it financially, and you would never know it. He is the most humble guy, and he's given out to others all the time. He knows how to keep money in perspective. The one who is blessed by grace through faith in the Lord has all three words describing their life. Sinners like you and me, who can relate to all of the above that we've just covered, but who are called by this word, and we're brought to Jesus. And by his grace, through the one who shed his blood to cover all of our sins, by his spirit, our ears are opened. We hear. We understand. Who is the one who is ready to receive, who is worthy to receive the Lord's Supper? According to Luther, the one who believes the words given and shed for you. That one has received and continues to be blessed. Remember, though, that these are gifts. These are gifts from the Lord through his word and his sacrament by the Spirit. Constantly receiving this word of Christ leads you to Christ, who heard for you. He heard the Father's call to live and die and rise for you. He came to do the Father's will. And by his hearing and his obeying, you are saved. This is a Christ who understood for you. He understood and understands your need perfectly. Hebrews 4:15, he sympathizes with all our weaknesses. And by his understanding, you're saved. This is your Savior Christ who bore fruit for you. 1 Corinthians 15:20, his resurrection, the first fruits. And by his bearing fruit for you, you are saved. This fruit he bore has won forgiveness for all of your sins, dear Christian. His fruit has made your heart rich soil for true faith. His fruit has conquered death with life. And his fruit has produced in you not a so-called faith here today and gone tomorrow, but a faith in which you also bear fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And it's all because, by his grace, he's opened your ears to hear, he's opened your mind to understand, and he fills your life to produce fruit. We love because he first loved us. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith in the Word.